We're back, hour number two of Road Dog Live. I'm KC coming to you live, and we are joined by Tim Norland, Vice President of Driver Employment with Rail. Great to have you, man.
So good to be here. Yeah. Man, I always miss coming to the studio, so it's a treat for me.
And now we actually have room for a third chair in here.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Well, no more squeezing. I think the last time I was here, I had to sit on the mop bucket, if I remember.
I think you did, man. Well, very interesting. The topic that we're discussing today is truck names. Mm. And one of my memories was riding in your Ford pickup truck.
Yeah.
When we went to the dairy, and then you dropped me off at the airport last time I was there.
Right.
And you showed me some of the driverless features that were on that, which I was a little bit tense. Yeah. I got to tell you, because I don't believe that that's the way, but, you know. Yeah. But I wonder if you have a name for that truck.
I did. So how I got that truck, I had bought a red F-150, a rail red F-150.
Okay.
You know, trying to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Brown nose
a
little bit.
Yeah, there
you go.
A little bit. But it came to an unfortunate end. I was in Madison, Wisconsin at 1:30 in the afternoon. I had been down at the state capitol. And a gentleman who had been to the bar and had a few too many ran a red light and hit me broadside and rolled me and destroyed that truck.
Oh, my
gosh. So
I
was okay. All my airbags went off, but the truck was totaled. So. And this was when you couldn't find new vehicles. And my wife got online right away, and she found the local dealer had a F-150 Limited. And she called him. It was available. I went the very next day. I looked at it, and I said, I will buy it. The owner of the dealership was driving it, so it had 11,000 miles on it, which was less than the truck that had just been totaled.
Right, right.
And I bought it for less than I paid for the other truck.
Wow.
So, I came out ahead, but I named her Gray because she's gray, but I'm going to have to name her something else because I think that truck was made on a Monday.
Oh,
or it's
no.
just a Ford. No, actually, I've never had issues with the Fords I've owned, but this truck has had 5 recalls.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it's got a lot, it's got a lot of technology
it
on
does.
It, and a lot of the issues with it revolve around that technology and the computer systems and such.
But, sure.
It's got new windshield wiper motor, new windshield wipers. There was a brake recall. There's something with a wiring harness. Just a bunch of little things. But it's running great right now, and I do enjoy it. It rides really nice, and I do like the hands-free feature. I drive into the airport yesterday. Yep. I put it on hands-free, and I kind of set back. You got to keep your eyes on the road, but
well,
you don't have to touch the steering wheel.
You demonstrated that to me when we were driving back to the airport, and it was crazy because Tim took his hands off the wheel and says, here's how it works. It will sense if you are not looking at the road, and it will give you the audible warning and say you need to pay attention to what you're doing. Now, here's the question, though, man. Why do we need that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The only time it's really, really nice is if, I'm on a longer trip and I stopped at McDonald's and I'm trying to eat my Big Mac.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I just got to look straight ahead and bring
that
sandwich up to my
mouth. Okay. Well, see, there's a good answer because sometimes you got to eat and you need the vehicle to do what the vehicle do.
Right.
As long as you're making sure you're paying attention, you might get a little catch up on the wheel whenever you take control, but
right.
at least you're paying attention.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's crazy that the auto world is already marketing the hands-free, and I've not been involved with one personally, so it's like I don't see all the benefits, but it's coming.
Yeah,
there's nothing we can do about it. It is the wave of the future.
Yeah.
And I hope it makes everything safer on the roadways. I mean, that's the intended goal.
Right, yeah. With the adaptive cruise, you know, if everybody would use it, there'd never be a traffic jam because all the vehicles would adjust accordingly.
Yeah, we'd all be driving 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Leave early.
Probably. Yeah.
Just leave early.
Exactly.
Well, let's get back into the conversation
about
Rail. I know that you're in town for the recruitment and retention event. Actually, we do have a call with a question. Let's go ahead and take a call first, and then we will get back to our conversation. Let's get into it with Mighty Joe in Ohio. Mighty Joe, question or comment for Tim Norland?
Actually, a comment for him, and then also to do with the show's topic for today.
Okay.
He mentioned about, you know, service, that it's, you know, the biggest thing that we sell in this industry, and he's right. In a company that I drive for now, one of our bigger customers, we lost the contract to them about three and a half years ago. One of the one of the mega carriers came in and undercut everybody, forced everybody out. Well, they messed up. They brought the rest of us back in, and we just ended up picking up even more, and we've been back not even 6 months, and we ended up getting probably about 90% of their freight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, service makes a difference.
Exactly. You know, and you were saying about always being on time. Yeah, there's also communication. You know, you know as well as I do, there's things that will come up that is out of the driver's control.
Right.
Contact dispatch or the broker, whomever, say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. I'm not going to make the delivery or the pickup on time. This way, you know, dispatch and that can either get another truck there to recover the load or, you know, somebody else there to pick the load up for you. You know, or at least let the customer know, hey, you know, he's stuck in traffic due to an accident, whatever the reason is. So that, you know.
You're exactly right.
Turn around and say, hey, you know, your service stinks.
Right. Yeah. And that's the key right there. You know, be on time, but things happen. We all get that. Just communicate with the customer and let them know.
No surprises.
My Lyft driver yesterday says, yeah, I had a customer. I got stuck in an hour and a half traffic jam on the freeway yesterday morning somewhere here in Nashville. The customer was none too happy, but he couldn't get off the freeway. So, but he was communicating. The customer was communicating with whoever he had to have a meeting with. And
yeah.
All ended well. And he got a nice tip, and they had a great conversation for an hour and a half of what would have been a 20-minute ride.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You cannot you can't take all of the traffic and just move it out of the way because one person needs to get somewhere.
Right.
Leave earlier.
Leave earlier.
Yeah. Hey, Mighty Joe, I know you want to talk about the name of your vehicle. I put you back on hold. We will get to your phone call whenever we get back into that topic, my friend. Thank you, bud. One thing the Mighty Joe mentioned was Mega Fleet, and it got me thinking, what's the goal at Rail? Is your goal to get to that level of Mega Fleet, or are you guys happy with the level that you're at? What's the direction you guys are taking?
You know... Mega fleet can be defined many different ways by many different people. You know, some people think a trucking company with 500 trucks is a mega fleet. Others, it's 1,000. Others, it's 5,000. You know, we don't consider ourselves a mega fleet. We're a family owned and operated business. We've got about 2,100 trucks, and we know our drivers by their names, not a driver code. And we're talking to them every day, our fleet managers. Each fleet manager is assigned the number of drivers that fleet manager can successfully service and take care of. They're really there for the driver. They want to be able to talk to each driver every day. And for some fleet managers, that's 30. For others, it might be 50 drivers. But
120.
No, not.
I couldn't do more than 20 because I dispatched for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work
that
goes into it.
It is. And, you know, but the nice thing is we're big enough that we have big company benefits. We have excellent equipment. We have an excellent maintenance staff, but we're not so big that we don't know who our drivers are.
Yeah.
And that's key.
Well, I think there's a lot of people who just feel like a number in the industry. And that's tough because I've said it many times that it's the most important link in the supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, guys like you who help run the operations and coordinate and get drivers interested in your company, you play a very important role. But without the driver, Tim doesn't work.
Right.
Casey doesn't work. We depend so heavily on the trucking industry, and that means that there needs to be a level of morale. There needs to be people who continually come in and say, I know what my value is because I feel the value from my company.
Right, right, yeah.
So, very important. Let's take a quick break. We're going to get right back into the conversation. Tim Norland hanging out with us. We're talking a little bit about rail transport. If you guys want to get in, you got a question or comment for Tim, we can take that phone call, 888-876-2336, 888-ROAD-DOG. And let me check one thing before we go. Nope, that's it. We'll be right back on Sirius XM.